inspiring solutions to save America one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Who can take your money? Some other guy, the government. The government can. And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions, like healthcare, climate change, pollution. Just throw away the Constitution. I wrote that, thank you. Who can give a bailout? Tell us to behave. And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. I don't care if you hate me, I'm going to sing it anyway. Oh, the government.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hey, hey, hour three, Wendy Bell Radio. Good to be with you guys. Common sense, conservative values delivered by a mom who sees the world at 30,000 feet. It ain't complicated. Now, I will tell you, because I love you, because we are friends. In fact, you're part of my army. Our army. I'm not going to play Merrick Garland sound for you today.
Because you care. And we don't want to lose viewers.
Oh, my goodness. He's such a drip. He's such a dope. Isn't it just disappointing when you hear people and you're like, oh, God, you suck. So he's on the hot seat. Congress is doing its thing, right? These committees, they're doing their thing. They're talking to Jennifer Granholm. They're talking to all of these people. They've had Christopher Wray in to lie multiple times. This time it was Attorney General Merrick Garland. Who says Biden, this is with a straight face, right? This is a straight face. Joe Biden has no impairment mentally, he says, despite special counsel Robert Hur's report. You know, it's so idiotic. It's as idiotic as showing the video inside the convention center where the gals were running through those boxes of perfectly pristine unfolded ballots that they pulled out from underneath the table after they sent all the poll workers home on November 5th, 2020, and just zzzed into the machines all night long. It's that obvious. It's that in your face. They're not even trying to hide it because they know they've got the system around them to protect them. That's what Jennifer Granholm knows. I can get rich. I can make millions of dollars off of you suckers. What are you going to do about it? Incorrect. Incorrect. This is what you get. So Merrick Garland is going to sit down. And that whole oath thing, I, Merrick Garland, do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Well, maybe not. I have to read some of this. This is from the New York Post. As Garland repeatedly defended President Biden's cognitive fitness for office Tuesday. Now, you guys, whether you watch Joe Biden, whether you've heard Joe Biden, whether you just see Joe Biden, there is nothing fit, nothing cognitive, nothing sharp. There is no ability. There is no edge. There is nothing except an old man with dementia. That's what you have. That is your president of the United States. And you have a Democratic Party who thinks he should limp to the grave at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's what they think. That's the best option they've got. The only reason why is because all of this house of cards, this teetering Jenga is one pull away from collapse. So here's Merrick Garland testifying that, quote, he could not have more confidence in the 81-year-old president's mental fitness, saying Bob Herd did not say anything like that in his February report, saying that he was a well-meaning, elderly, forgetful man. That's not what he said. Well, I mean, it's actually exactly what he said. But, I mean, don't let us get in the way of your facts there, Merrick. The document obviously made Biden's perceived decline a key point in recommending against criminal charges. If they're going to call Joe Biden, who's a doddering fool, right? Irrespective of his years of bribery, of blackmail, of profiteering off of Biden crime family syndicate stuff. Bleh. Dude's gone. Gone. And everybody knows it. But you're not supposed to talk about that. Merrick Garland's here. He's on the stand, right? Basically, he's talking to Congress. No, this dude is 100% fantastic. Runs circles around everybody. Well, we pulled a couple little clips, nothing long. But here's Joe Biden. And he's out and about ostensibly campaigning while Donald Trump is shackled to Manhattan. He's out campaigning, doing something with a very awkward and very uncomfortable audience because he just doesn't make any sense. He shuffles. He walks like my grandpa does, who had Alzheimer's and passed away. We all see this. We all recognize dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever the hell it is. And as many times as they want to spin the story, he's seasoned. He's so amazing. Like, I can hardly keep up, right? You see him shuffle, walk out of the small stairs on Air Force One, need help from his wife to figure out where he's going when he's leaving a podium, wandering around aimlessly, walking into the bushes. That is just your silly little foolish eyes, says Merrick Garland. Well, here is Joe Biden talking about how apparently in his mind, he is up against Donald Trump in dozens and dozens of polls. Listen to sharpness, focus, and listen to leadership here in Joe Biden.
I've been to every single of the toss-up states so far. And guess what? If you knock anybody knows anything about polling, it's awful hard to poll these days. Because, no, I'm serious. But guess what? Even in the polls that are being used now, we're heading in 35 polls.
So what you don't see if you're listening is there is a woman with blonde hair and a young man who appears to be her son wearing a suit and what appears to be her daughter standing in front of her looking very nice. And the boy is demonstrably uncomfortable. It looks like he wants anywhere. He wants to be anywhere. It's like he's at church and it's a long Easter service. He's like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? Really? But they all look so uncomfortable. Like, oh geez, it's worse than we thought. And then he continues. There's another audio soundbite that you have to hear. This is Mumblemore McMumbleface. I have no, listen.
The one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These were heroes. Mm-hmm. These soldiers were heroes.
These soldiers are heroes. They're so heroic. We made them all get a vaccine that's injured a lot of them and killed a bunch too. That's how we care about them in my administration. That's called dementia, right? And he's covering the same tired old lie that Donald Trump disparaged troops by calling them suckers and losers. But if you do your research, that's not at all what he said. Don't let the facts get in the way of your fiction. Joe Biden is not there. Merrick Garland trying to promise to everybody. Oh my God, this guy is so spot on. He's great. Is gross. But before we continue, Brock did just bring something to my attention. I'm wondering if we have a breaking news that we can pull in here. It's important, friends.
Wendy Bell. Breaking news.
That's true. This just in, NPR whistleblower Yuri Berliner. He resigns. Quote, I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged. Everybody kind of getting the Donald Trump treatment these days, right? Everybody feeling it. This is the story. Longtime NPR editor Yuri Berliner, who is serving a 5-day suspension for blowing the whistle on liberal bias at the organization, announced moments ago he has resigned. I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defend NPR. I respect the integrity of my colleagues. I wish for NPR to thrive and to do important journalism, but I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cited in my free press essay, he wrote on X. This is where we are. Suspicions confirmed. And every which way, that new CEO could have done the right thing or at least saved the optics from suck, just blew up. When we get back from this short break, you know that whole story that Donald Trump and the Republicans' tax cuts only helped the rich? They only care about rich white billionaires. Yeah, about that. How about we debunk it in a big, big way? Next. You know, so all we heard for so long is that the Republican Party, they're only for the rich. They're for the fat cats. They only like white people. It's so interesting that the Republican tent has become more obvious to more people. It's not exclusive. It isn't a one, you know, a one group thing, or only if you look a certain way. People are seeing that. They're seeing extreme policies right now, which don't work. They've ruined so much of what we love about being in America. And they're coming over to the right and they're like, what's going on over here? What are you guys doing? It seems kind of friendly over here, right? We're allowed to come inside? Yeah, come inside. We'll tell you what we think. We think that you shouldn't have to pay so much in taxes. We think that if you contribute a lot and you have more money at the end of the month in your pocket, you're more likely to go out and spend that money. And that stimulates the economy. And when the economy is stimulated and people are buying things, people innovate things. They create things. They become extraordinary. And those things become sellable. And that's how things thrive. You are able to hire employees because you start making money. But the minute all of that changes, the minute the minimum wage goes up, the minute taxes go up, your fun money flies away and the economy contracts, period. That's not what's going on. No, no, no. Well, we had this article from The Hill. And it's very interesting. IRS data proves that the Trump tax cuts benefited middle and working class Americans the most. Wait, what? That's not what we're told. Huh. Let's go through this. Congressional Democrats have argued that one of the best ways to pay for their legislation, of course, all of the CARES Act, the infrastructure, all of the corruption acts, is to raise taxes on wealthy households, which, according to many people on the left, have benefited disproportionately and unfairly from the 2017 tax reform law passed by Republicans and signed by President Trump. This data, however, that we're sharing with you provides that this claim is pure mythology. Income data published by the IRS clearly show that, on average, all income brackets benefited substantially from the Republicans' tax reform law, with the biggest beneficiaries being the working and middle income filers, not the top 1%. As so many Democrats have argued, it's almost like everything they say, if their mouth is moving, they are lying. You'd be right about that. A careful analysis of the IRS tax data, one that includes the effects of tax credits and other reforms to the tax code, shows that filers with an adjusted gross income of $15,000 to $50,000 low income enjoyed an average tax cut of 16%. They saw their taxes go down 16% starting in 2018. That was the first year Republicans' Tax Cuts and Jobs Act went into effect, and the most recent year for which the data was available. Filers who earned $50,000 to $100,000 received a tax break of about 15%. That's giant. And those earning $100,000 to $500,000 in adjusted gross income saw their personal income taxes come down by about 11%. All right, not so much, but still a break. It ain't a rise. By comparison, no income group with adjusted gross income of at least $500,000 received an average tax cut exceeding 9%. So the highest earners got a cut. It was far smaller than the lowest income earners who got the greatest break. As it should be. This is not complicated. That means most middle-income and working-class earners enjoyed a tax cut that was at least double the size of tax cuts received by households earning $1 million or more. What's more, IRS data shows earners in higher income brackets contributed a bigger slice of the total income tax revenue pie following the passage of the tax reform law than they had in the previous year. Wait a minute! What? You're telling us that all these rich fat cats aren't paying their fair share. Pay your fair share. Well, in fact, what they're doing is, under the Republicans and Donald Trump's tax plan, they did get a break, but it was the smallest of all breaks, and they ended up paying more of the overarching tax burden than they did before. It's sort of like Biden peddling the lie that Donald Trump called them losers and suckers. Or that Charlottesville, very fine people on both sides. Every single thing they say is BS. By the way, I'm reading you this article. This was written in 2021. This is no mystery. We've known for 3 years that the pay your fair share mantra was bogus. The same way Joe Biden yelling like a deranged, demented old man. How dare he say that about our heroes? Sir, you have no reverence for anybody. You don't respect the military. You don't respect the flag. You don't respect the truth. You don't respect your oath. You don't respect yourself, sir. And we never respected you anyhow. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's go in this direction. You know, justice might only be possible when people wake up from their slumber. Stephen A. Smith, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear what he has, not him, Trevor Noah. Excuse me, Trevor Noah. Waking up, hear it next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So, of course, you all remember the name Cassidy Hutchinson because she was the star witness. She was going to be this amazing 11th hour presenter for the January 6th committee. They had the lights, the camera, the wind machine, the makeup. They just didn't have the truth. And you need to know that this is how your uniparty operates. This is what they want. This is what they allow. This is what they inculcate. This is what is going on. Where you testify, quote unquote, salacious details that are meant specifically to come back for the media to use to tarnish Donald Trump. And then quietly, after the cameras are done and everybody's gone home, the damage has been done, story is out there now, wrap-up smear complete, you quietly go back in through a side door and amend your testimony. Because that's what she did. People come back and they amend testimony when they find out that they've done something wrong or they were mistaken. They want to set the record straight. You know, I was wrong about that date. It might be pertinent for the official record, so may I please come and amend my testimony. I thought I was here. I looked at my text messages. I was actually here. Can I amend that? Cassidy Hutchinson amended her testimony, during which she said she was there with Mark Meadows, Donald Trump's chief of staff, on January 6th. That she witnessed Donald Trump deranged, out of his mind. He was crazy. He lunged. He wanted that steering wheel. He was willing to pull it to the direction that he wanted to go, which was that U.S. Capitol. He was furious, out of his mind. Have you ever seen Donald Trump other than exactly always the same? Because I haven't. I don't care if the whole world is on fire or if he just went public with Truth Social and made $9 billion, whatever. Same dude. People are lying about him. He raped me. No proof. Same dude. Always. Cassidy Hutchinson went back in to amend her testimony to make 47 changes. That's called a serial liar. That is what she is. That is what she was. That is why she was there. That is why Liz Cheney, who facilitated the questioning of Cassidy Hutchinson as then Mark Meadows' chief of staff, like right-hand woman. 47 things. How's that even possible? Well, you know how it's possible. Everything they say is a lie. And people are tired of being lied to. It's been exhausting. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. And at the end of the day, we're done because we're just treading water. And they just care about lying. So when you hear voices like Trevor Noah, so he's a comedian, right? I've very scant details about the guy. I've seen him do some of the roasts, the White House roasts. I don't know why these things are funny, why these people need to get dressed up and act like dirtbags to each other. I don't understand where the humor is in that. It's not funny to me. But he makes basically his living off of ripping on Donald Trump. And then all of a sudden this happened. And we were like, wait, what? He's speaking specifically about how disrespected, doddering, inept, corrupt, Joe Biden is on the world stage, how disrespected he is from the United Arab Emirates and King so-and-so and Prince blah, blah, blah. Anybody who gives him a fist bump instead of giving them the due respect that the leader of the free world should have. He is a laughingstock on a global stage. Trevor Noah, comedian, makes an abrupt 180 from his typical Trump railing and drops this truth bomb. Listen.
Kidding me. Apparently Saudi Arabia won't even pick up the phone for the President of the United States. I mean, look, I know it's hard to arrange those calls. You know, Riyadh is 8 hours ahead. Biden is asleep by 4 p.m. It's a narrow window to make it work. But still, that must have been really embarrassing for Biden. And you know what? You can say what you want, but this would have never happened to Donald Trump. Never. No one was ever ignoring Donald Trump's calls. Yeah, because if you ignored Donald Trump's calls, you didn't know how he would respond. Maybe he'd send an angry tweet, or maybe he'd just like ban your country from everything. You don't know. That's why I bet in these situations, Biden actually wishes that he could hire Trump to step in as president wildcard, you know, just keep everyone on their toes. Because if Trump was calling, you best believe the UAE, they'd be racing to pick up the phone. Oh, Mr. Trump, we're here. We're here. Hello?
Too late, Ahmed. You made me wait two rings. We're bombing the UAE and the UFC just in case.
I mean, it's humorous. But belying that, everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. Bill Maher now knocking CNN's nonstop Trump bashing. No one's been harder on him than me, he says. Terrible grammar. And I'm bored with it. The HBO host also has been an outspoken critic of Trump and the legacy media. Real-time host Bill Maher took a swipe at the corporate as his corporate colleagues at CNN for the network's nonstop bashing of former President Trump, suggesting it's gotten boring, even for a Trump hater like himself. How is this any different than Yuri Berliner at NPR standing up and being like, am I the only one who sees this? This has gotten so old. Everything we're doing, it's the same crap. It's Trump bashing. It's lying. It's Democrat deception. And I'm a Democrat, and I'm not down with this. This is the same vibe. Bill Maher calling out the network that desperately tried to bring him in, the fray, to boost their ratings, which plummeted 90% after Trump left office. 90%. That's why they're looking to cut Jake Tapper. That's why they can't afford Wolf Blitzer. That's why Anderson Cooper's cushy $20 million salary of suck is in the crosshairs, hangs in the balance. CNN, which long has been plagued with dwindling viewership, has relied on Maher for content over the past several months, most recently deciding to air encore episodes of his HBO show on Saturday nights, as both networks are owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. On Sunday's installment of his Club Random podcast, Maher told former TV anchor Katie Couric that he doesn't trust, quote, anybody in the legacy media, including CNN. I don't trust anyone is giving me the full story, he said. Everyone is giving me their spin on the story, including the places that used to be, I thought, fairly neutral, like CNN and the New York Times. I think used to be a lot more neutral. Were they? I don't know. I could argue no. You think they're sort of more activists, Katie Couric asks. Yes, he said. You could always slant any story. My earliest memories of my father and me talking about something, I remember him telling me, like, the bias comes through somehow. And I remember the examples he used. He said, like, if you say he squawked about it as opposed to he said, then he said Robert Kennedy, so this must be, he's going into an example of a verbatim quote from his father, talking about how you portray something that did or did not happen has the ability to sway the listener. And that CNN, like NPR, has been using Donald Trump and swaying what he says and saying what he does to that effect. And he's done with it. It's boring. I've lost interest. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. That's Yuri Berliner. And then you get a little headline like this, my friends. Did you hear about the teenager who's been suspended from school because he called them illegal aliens? This is the semantics BS of feelings that the left wants to get behind. This is important to these folks in education. Story at Newsweek. Republicans yesterday expressed anger about a 16-year-old high school student suspended for using the term illegal alien. Oh, my Lord. According to the Carolina Journal, Christian McGee was suspended from Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina for 3 days last week. Kind of like Yuri Berliner. Don't say the truth. Don't tell the truth. Because he allegedly said the term during an English class assignment. Oh, did it trigger his woke teacher? Is that what happened? The newspaper reported that the boy's mother, Leah McGee, said a teacher had given an assignment that used the word alien. And Christian responded by asking if the teacher meant like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. The conservative X accounts, libs of TikTok, posted Tuesday about the teen's suspension, saying his academic record could be damaged. He asked for edification. Hey, can you give me, what do you mean? It's like he's at the spelling bee. Use it in a sentence. Definition? You're banished and suspended. And we might put a little mark in your record. I know you're only 16, but this is a critical age. You're looking at colleges. Is that disgusting? Post had garnered a million views as of 4 p.m. yesterday. I can't even imagine where it is now. Newsweek reached out to members of Central Davidson High School staff One staff member replied by saying they cannot discuss a specific student or their actions due to the federal student privacy protections. It's like Chris Ray saying that's part of an ongoing investigation. I can't talk about that. Do you see how all of these things are connected? It's the same suck playbook. It's backfiring. They're pissing off Bill Maher, Trevor Noah. What? These folks are leftists who are done. Done with the derangement. Makes you feel good. All right. You know, I'm going to debunk this. When somebody says Harvard is a really good school, I'm going to be like, not so fast there. And I've got proof. More plagiarism, this time in the medical school. What? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. It's becoming more and more apparent. And we're able to connect the dots, I think, in a much faster time frame now, which I think is something that's super triumphant. You know, you're forced in a front row seat now to watch the demise of this country, where we have elected representatives and district attorneys who give judicial preference to criminals, to illegal immigrants, to strangers, to bad actors in many cases. And will throw a 72-year-old great-grandmother in jail for walking through a building. They will use zero evidence. They will concoct evidence. They will twist statutes of limitations. That's what they did at the E. Jean Carroll's case. They passed an 11th-hour Hail Mary bill to allow, quote-unquote, victims of sexual assault X amount of years that just so happened to be within the window that E. Jean Carroll would be able to bring charges against Donald Trump for what she said was an alleged rape, for which there is no proof, there is no corroboration, there were no witnesses. It's Christine Blasey Ford after Brett Kavanaugh. He raped me. He did something. I know. Well, I mean, where were you? I don't know. What time of year was it? I don't know. What were you wearing? I think it was a bathing suit. Who else was there? I don't know. Where was the house? I don't know. Just believe me, damn it! Isn't it all so shamefully feeble, unbelievable, and farcical? That's why I say it's High School Musical. With really, really bad performers. And an out-of-tune orchestra. Woof. Well, how about this Harvard Medical School guy? Professor! Professor at Harvard Medical School, who's called to testify in a case, in a lawsuit involving Lockheed Martin, right? And so apparently the information that the guy used, he plagiarized, he stole from somebody else, and doesn't care that you know it. Ew! Is there anybody at Harvard who thinks for themselves? Who doesn't steal the intellectual property of other people? We have the Chinese for that. We don't need Harvard. Headline, New York Post, Harvard Medical School professor. Massively plagiarized report for Lockheed Martin lawsuit. Said the judge. What? A Harvard Medical School professor plagiarized huge swaths of a report he submitted on carcinogenic chemicals. This is according to a federal judge who agreed to remove it as evidence in a class action case against Lockheed Martin. Like, don't use evidence that you stole from somebody else because you suck so royally that you can't think for yourself. And so you stole? Assistant Professor Deepak Panigrahi. He looks like he's an Indian dude. Whatever. Had sent a 500-page report on behalf of the plaintiffs, who've accused the weapons manufacturer of releasing toxic chemicals from its Orlando, Florida facility, causing them to get sick. On March 18th, the U.S. District Judge granted a motion to toss out this professor's report as evidence and said the professor, in his report, largely plagiarized from work by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And said this, quote, Dr. Panigrahi's report is, put plainly, a mess. What? A judge says this. It's a mess. You suck. You so royally suck. And it has nothing to do with you being a minority. You suck because you skirted the corners. You didn't do the basic building block of research integrity. You chucked your intellectual integrity into the water and ripped off somebody else. Dr. Panagre's report is, put plainly, a mess, the judge wrote. Indeed, the plagiarism is so ubiquitous, it's everywhere throughout the report, that it is frankly overwhelming to try to make heads or tails of just what is Dr. Panagre's own work. Now, I share this with you not to further illuminate the suck that is Harvard. And I'm going to go with probably the lion's share of higher education, which is so sad. But to show you the defiant response of a professor who stuck, who got caught. He told Fox News that the court made, quote, clear factual errors, and he expects the ruling to be reversed on appeal. The professor said that he had correctly cited the reports and articles that the judge said were plagiarized. The initial report included 1,107 references, he said, plus a supplemental report with an additional 338. He basically said the judge is wrong. Nuh-uh. Yuh-huh. Nuh-uh. Yuh-huh. This is why Bill Maher is bored. It's boring now because it's so, so predictable. Take out the main players, put in different people, change the circumstances a little bit. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that Donald Trump is going through in Manhattan today. A jury of your peers to be seated to judge you on something that wasn't criminal, that didn't happen, based on a sexual act that both parties who were allegedly involved with deny even happening, payment that was made by a dirtbag serial liar, tax evader, and cheat. And yet Donald Trump has to sit there for how long? And possibly miss his son's graduation from high school because a deranged Trump hater judge said so. Got it. Other than that, my friends, I got nothing. Hey, we'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here. Next time, bring a friend. We can't wait to see you again. Peace, everybody.